Back together, you and I, for a fast-moving edition of Connecticut Today on Thursday, November the 4th. Journal Inquirer of Manchester columnist Chris Powell checked in for his regular monthly slot regarding the latest Connecticut election results. Pundit Steve Turley also weighed in. He's an Orange, Connecticut native, by the way. He weighed in on Tuesday's election results, whether they help or hurt former President Donald Trump. And I had some thoughts right off the top of the show, wondering, look, who's telling the truth when it comes to possibly paying off migrants currently suing the federal government with the help of the ACLU? I want to start with this today on a sunny, gorgeous Thursday. Of course, we won't be doing our regular show tomorrow because we'll be engaged in our all-day radiothon for the Bridgeport Rescue Mission. So tune in tomorrow, starting tomorrow morning with Melissa at 5 and running all the way through 6. Tomorrow night, I'll be here. We'll be interviewing the great people from the rescue mission and, of course, asking for your generous and kind donations. So we'll wrap the week up today with all things political and all of that. But I begin with this question because I'm stumped. I don't know. Maybe you people can help me out on this because you are learned. You know from whence you speak and all that, to sound as Elizabethan as we can. Is the White House either stupid, out of touch, or are they lying to us? Is this administration flat out lying to us when it comes to policies at the border with illegals? Are they flat out lying to us, or do they just don't know what's going on within their own administration? Do they know what's going on? They don't want to tell us anything about it, or are they just inept? And listen, I'm trying to do a public service for them today because their polling numbers on immigration are really bad. They're only at 51% with Democrats. They're at, 3% with Republicans and something like 22% with independents. And the reason I ask is this, and I may have heard this story a couple of seconds ago at the top of the hour, and this is the kind of story that you hear. And this should go across party lines. This should not be a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative, a center of the road, an unaffiliated story, independent voter. This is just incompetence or it's lying. One of the two. They're either lying through their teeth or, pops there in the White House is incompetent. What do I mean? Here's the story out of Washington, D.C., Dateline from our news service. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, in case you don't know what that is, which at its core mission is a good organization. The ACLU does sometimes defend conservatives as well. The ACLU is refuting President Biden's claim about payments to separated migrant families. Now, during a White House briefing this week, Mr. Biden responded to reports that his administration is considering paying up to $450,000 to migrant families who were separated during the prior Trump White House. Now, the president called those reports, quote unquote, garbage. That's not our word. He used it. I saw him say it the other day. He said that's garbage. He said, quote, that's not going to happen, unquote. So the president of the United States is saying it's garbage. He said it's not going to happen. And I heard that a couple days ago. I said, oh, all right, maybe. Well, maybe he got wind of this and said, no, not on my watch. However, a statement from the ACLU says Mr. Biden may not be aware. That's a little backhanded slap there, too, to the president, by the way. A statement from the ACLU says Mr. Biden may not be aware that his Justice Department has indeed been negotiating those payments. What? Excuse me? So the ACLU, number one, refutes the guy. Number two, they give him a little slap there. Well, he may not be aware what's going on. Oh, really? The ACLU warned Biden. Here's the ACLU warning a president that he risks, quote, abandoning a core campaign promise, unquote, to do justice for thousands of separated families under the Bush administration. Whoa. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, saying, hey, Joe, you will genuflect to the illegals. Joe, you'll do it. You'll do it, damn it, whether you like it Wow. So Joe Biden, our president, number 46, the leader of the free world, he called the reports of $450,000 payments to migrant families garbage. By the way, how many regular, you know, legal Americans have $450,000 put away for retirement? And added, quote, that's not going to happen, unquote. Well, Joe, the ACLU says you don't know what's going on. And they say you're risking abandoning a core campaign promise. Oh, folks, coming off the performance at the that the Democrats took the other night, and now is this, what a clown car. Oh, my God. Really? Now, look, you can, and see, there's a myriad of issues here. You can debate whether or not the Trump policy of separating kids from their parents was moral. They said they were doing it because some of these kids apparently didn't come across with their parents. These were other adults using kids as props, whatever. But the bottom line is, the ACLU says, oh, no, you're going to pay us. You're going to pay these migrants. And the president of the United States says, nah, garbage, ain't going to happen. So one of these parties is lying. Maybe, or one is really stupid, or they both are, or they're both incompetent. I don't know. But again, heading into an election year, if I'm in the Democratic leadership, you better be really careful here. Because again, you know, illegals here, it's a sacrament for the left. It's a sacrament for the left. And I know there are going to be people saying, well, they're only paying the money, Paul, because these kids were separated from their supposed parents. Okay, maybe. But you don't think the traffickers are looking at this in Mexico and in Central America saying, hey, if you get there, just claim mental distress. You want to find somebody from the American Civil Liberties Union. Find a lawyer. Here's the piece of paper you're going to give to them. Tell them you want them to sue. If you don't think that paying any amount of money this time around is going to be an incentive for more of these people to try it, you're out of your mind. You're nuts. You're crazy. So the president says it's not going to happen. And the ACLU says, well, Mr. President, it is because your Justice Department is doing it. So is Biden out of it? Is he out of it? Seriously, is he out of it? Or is he being told one thing and the Justice Department is doing another? Is the ACLU BSing here? I mean, I don't know. This is you can't script comedy like this. This is Emmy Award-winning stuff. And joining us right now is Chris Powell, editorial writer, Manchester Journal-Inquirer, for his monthly check-in with us. He has a piece regarding that question coming out this weekend in various sites, syndicated and otherwise, and on a number of the news sites in the state. Hey, Chris, it's Paul here. How are you, sir?
Oh, great to be with you, Paul. Thanks.
So, Chris, the Republicans, they did okay the other night, and both nationally and locally, and I would suspect that, at least for this cycle, that was due to the lack of Mr. Trump being a specter here.
Well, that was sure a big part of it, Paul. The Connecticut's Republican State Chairman, Ben Proto, calculated that the Republicans had flipped the control of 19 towns in the state. I know they held on to some of the small cities' mayoralties that they had. They gained the mayoralty in Bristol, which is a little surprisingly. They almost took the mayoralty in West Haven, a very heavily Democratic town where the embezzlement scandal is going on. Mayor Rossi beat the Republican Barry Cohn by only 29 votes, I guess, in their they're having a recount on Sunday, so that could still change. So, by the usual standards, the Republicans did pretty good in Connecticut, but I'm just not sure it means anything because, the local elections are very seldom decided on party principles. They're almost always decided on personalities. They're seldom decided on issues. They're very few issues in local politics and municipal politics in Connecticut because we have binding arbitration that takes, 70% of the financial decisions out of the hands of the elected officials. So there's really not much left for them to do. People are forgetting that, the big Democratic pluralities in the cities that usually determine our statewide elections were really not emphasized this year. Mm-hmm. Hartford did not have a mayoral election. Bridgeport didn't have one. New Haven did. But the Republicans looked a lot better this time because there were no big Democratic pluralities in the cities that people were paying any attention to. Those pluralities will, you know, show up in the state election next year. So, Donald Trump was not around Connecticut in this election, so the Republicans didn't have that handicap. But they got to worry because next year is a congressional and statewide election year, and Trump is likely to be campaigning for at least congressional races and maybe preparing for another presidential race. And the more Trump gets emphasized, the worse the Republicans are going to do in Connecticut.
Chris, hang out. We'll be right back with you after a quick break. Chris Powell, the guest, as we bring him on once a month to talk about all things political in the state. First, back to Chris after traffic and weather together right here on WICC. And Chris Powell with his monthly check-in for us, editorialist from the columnist Manchester Journal Inquirer. Also, his columns are picked up on some statewide political sites like the Capitol Report and all that, ctcapitalreport.com. So, Chris, do you anticipate in the coming year where, as you say, the House and Senate is going to be up for grabs again with some interesting, issues out there like criminal justice reform, maybe, and other things in state finances? Do you anticipate, Chris, a season of campaigning where, you know, the Democratic candidates will largely point to the Connecticut Republican candidates and said, well, that's all fine and good. What do you think of Trump? Do you think there'll be an active push here in the state, no matter what the tenor of the race is, no matter what people think, to bring up Trump and insert him again?
Well, that's certainly going to be the Democratic strategy. I think there's lots of good issues available in Connecticut. The juvenile crime issue is one of them. The failure of poverty and educational policy to achieve their nominal objectives. The problem is, in recent elections, Republicans haven't wanted to talk about them. If Republicans in Connecticut wanted to follow the strategy that Glenn Youngkin, the Republican-elect governor in Virginia, wanted to follow. He didn't alienate the Trump people, but he didn't call Trump into the state either. He pressed a number of very specific issues in Virginia, and that worked for him. I wonder if Republicans in Connecticut were pushing some very specific issues and had some policies about them and made the discussion in Connecticut's campaign about what was wrong in government and what could be corrected, well, maybe they would distract people from Trump. But I've never seen any indication that Republicans in Connecticut want to get serious about the serious issues.
I did see something interesting last night, Chris Powell, regarding Virginia. As you say, that as much as Terry McAuliffe tried to make Trump an issue there, wrongly connecting him to Youngkin and the Republicans there, somebody, I think on one of the liberal channels, pointed out, Chris, and said, well, you know, the guy can't tweet anymore. He can't put stuff on YouTube. So, you know, the left, in thinking they defeated him, kind of, Chris, addition by subtraction, like pulling him out of the mix in a roundabout way, may have helped a lot of Republican candidates.
Well, you know, maybe. Eventually people may realize that Trump's not running the government anymore, that Joe Biden and the Democrats are, and that Trump was never running the government in Connecticut, that the Democrats have been running the government in Connecticut for many years. And I'm looking forward to the day when Trump gets old in that sense.
Any thoughts further on the governor's race coming up? I see there was a slight change of leadership made at the top of the Democratic Party. The governor is going to be interesting this time, Chris, because, you know, we don't know if Themis Claridis is running. We kind of do suspect Bob Stefanowski to run. That push poll, that public policy polling did the other day, did have one interesting takeaway from it. You know, the governor, you probably saw this, only 50-41 for him or somebody else. So this could get really interesting in a few months here.
Yeah, I wrote a column about that poll, Paul. I thought it was misleadingly headlined. It showed the governor leading Bob Stefanowski, I think it was 52-36%, and leading Claritas by 56-30-something percent, a little less than Stefanowski had. But if you went deeper into the poll, there was a question saying that if the election was held today, would you vote to reelect the governor, or you know, do you think it's time for someone new? And that was the question you were just citing. And the answer, the poll response to that was only 50% preferred the governor against 41% saying someone new. Now, you know, that still reelects the governor, but I think it shows there's a lot more room for consideration of a Republican candidate who has something to say than maybe the headlines on that poll were suggesting.
Finally, Chris Powell, Erin Stewart wins again in New Britain, another term. If she serves it out all the way, it'll be five terms. Is she the model for a Connecticut Republican winning in a blue city? What do you think of that?
Well, you can't argue with her success,
right,
Paul. I have not found her to be very strong on issues, but any Republican who can win in New Britain is got to have something going for her. She did, I guess, run for lieutenant governor 3 years ago. Didn't really get very far within in the Republican Party. But, you know, she wants to run. She's going to have to be considered seriously. I would just hope that she'd wade into issues a little bit more than she's done in the past.
All right, Chris, thank you. Chris Powell joining us. Check it out, Manchester, the Journal Inquirer, we should say, of Manchester. And Chris's columns appear there and other sites, including the CT, CapitalReport.com. Chris, thank you. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Paul. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. There you go. Joining us right now is a gentleman we've had on the show here a couple of times before. And we should mention, a Connecticut native, a native of the Constitution State, or as I like to call it recently, the People's Republic of Connecticut. Dr. Steve Turley is back with us. I'm sorry. I say that with all the love in my heart, Steve, because you're a Connecticut
guy. Oh, I know,
guy,
Paul.
Too.
You know, every once in a while, I talk about it with my wife. I say, you know, I think I'd love to go back to Orange, you know, right outside of New Haven. You know, I've been out of the state now almost 30 years. But, gosh, I'll tell you, I see your taxes and your politics. I'm like, I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, but, Steve, we actually have a Democrat governor now, Ned Lamont, who tells his own caucus, stop with the tax raises. We're not raising taxes anymore. Because, Steve, he's a white rich guy from Fairfield County.
There you go.
So, yeah, you know, Steve, there are plenty of nice houses if you want to come back here. Anyway, good to
see. Oh, I know there is. And I will be back for Thanksgiving. I'll be there in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Because you miss driving up and down I-95 and the Merritt and Wilbur Cross Parkway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I were king for a day, I would declare that Connecticut traffic sucketh.
There you go. Steve, we've touched on stuff from your point of view in politics before. What do you think we saw on Tuesday night? Did the Republicans do well because Donald Trump wasn't on the ballot, or because he was still around but kind of laying low? What are your thoughts that we saw on Tuesday night?
Oh, definitely this was, for lack of a better term, well, in the media, they were trying to call it a white lash. The MSNBC contributors were talking that way. CNN was talking that way. This was a white lash. These are, you know, white rural folk pushing against change, blah, blah, blah. No, this was a woke lash. It's not a white lash. This is a woke lash. And in many ways, it is the continuation of the Trumpian revolution. When all is said and done, I think the best way of analyzing what happened is based on what one of Obama's former advisors was very nervous about. She said, we Democrats risk seeing the Republican Party turn into the parents' party.
Yes.
Now, what a fascinating phrase, the parents' party. And, of course, that's because while we saw it with the 1776 PAC, they ran 60 candidates for school boards across the country. 75% of them won. And what we're finding is that this is not an ideological revolution. This isn't you know, conservative versus liberal. It's not a partisan revolution, Republican versus Democrat. This really is a populist revolution. It's the people versus the political class. It's the ruled versus the rulers. And you just have more and more people, particularly parents in this case in Loudoun County, for example, in Virginia, just more and more parents feeling like when they show up to these school boards, they're going in front of these tribunals of rulers, not representatives. And they want a representative government, not this dictatorial rule. And so they push back, and they push back hard. And that, of course, was Trump's message back in 2016. I'm the only guy up on the stage that's not a politician. These stupid politicians, you know, bankrupt our nation. They open up our borders. They ship our jobs overseas. They laugh and mock at our customs, cultures, and traditions. We're going to fight back. We're going to make America great again. This was a MAGA revolution, whether or not Donald Trump himself was on the ballot.
Steve, hang on. We'll be right back with you. Dr. Steve Turley, more from him, the website Turley Talks, T-U-R-L-E-Y, talks.com. First, traffic and weather together, then back with Steve on WICC. And we continue with a return guest here, Connecticut native, Orange native, Dr. Steve Turley. Take a look at his website if you can, turleytalks.com, T-U-R-L-E-Y, talks.com. We're taking a look back at the postmortem of the elections this past Tuesday. You know, Steve, you and I follow this stuff probably a lot more closely than a lot of folks do. It's kind of part and parcel of what we do. And when I read that quote a couple of months back or a month or so back, where Terry McAuliffe saying, and the quote is, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." Now, I kind of understood what he was trying to say, that they have curriculum committees and whatever. But I said to myself, the way he said it, and I thought, I said, wow, did he just lose the election with that line? You know, much the way, Steve, that Phil Murphy, who kind of hung on at the end, you know, there in New Jersey, said, well, if taxes are your main issue, we're probably not the state for you. I heard those two lines, Steve, and I said to myself, these lines are going to go down in the history books as what not to say if you're trying to get elected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do have to remember, you know, Virginia did turn blue. It has gone blue, particularly in the northern region there. And while it's still got a very strong, you know, populist patriot bent in the South and the West, it's been pretty reliably blue since around 2013 or so, Bob McDonnell being the last Republican governor there, elected back in 2009. And so, of course, the state house and Senate have gone fully Democrat. New Jersey is a Democrat machine. And yet what we saw happen, and also in Pennsylvania, what we saw happen on Tuesday was this total onslaught of this populist, very patriotic sort of backlash within these thoroughly blue areas. You know, you've of course heard about the Senate president in New Jersey getting beaten by,
yes,
Ed Durd, D-U-R-R, my new favorite hero.
He spent $153 on his campaign. How is that possible?
Paul, you got to check out, I don't know if you saw his commercial that he put together.
Okay.
It's so low budget. It belongs on YouTube. It's awesome. This is coming from a YouTuber, right? It is so good because it encapsulates precisely the frustration. Here it is, not of Republicans, not of Democrats, but of people,
yeah,
of tax-paying citizens who are being ignored. You know, one of the biggest problems we have when we open up our borders is you effectively nullify the clear distinction between citizen and non-citizen. And the whole point of being part of a nation state is to enjoy the benefits that citizenship brings to us. Now we're finding that non-citizens are getting paid even better than we are, with that crazy Tucker Carlson talking about this crazy program that Joe's going to push with paying $450,000 per person for families that were separated at the border and all this kind of nonsense.
And Steve, I don't know whether you saw the news today, but the ACLU, and I know you're busy, you may not have caught this, but check this out. The ACLU apparently said today they reacted, Steve, to what the president said the other day when he was asked about it, and he said, like, baloney, that's a lie, it's not going to happen. And the ACLU came out and said, well, maybe President Biden should know that we're still negotiating this. So, you know, either, Steve, and they kind of said it in a backhanded way, like he doesn't know what's going on. So either he's lying or he's out of it or the Justice Department's lying. But again, Steve, to your central point, you know, you can only do so many crazy things so many times where people are going to throw their party affiliations out and say, you know what, yeah, I'm usually a Democrat or a left-leaning centrist, but some of this stuff is just nuts. I can't go for this.
You got it. That's exactly what Ed did. Edward just encapsulated those frustrations of your typical New Jerseyite, and now, after spending basically the amount of money that you'd spend on a nice steak dinner,
he is now the newest member of the
New Jersey Senate.
It's mind-boggling. So, you know, looking ahead here, Steve Turley, finally, in the congressional election cycle coming up, what do you think Democrats do here? Do they try to invoke Mr. Trump here, or will they take the advice of what some people are saying today and they said yesterday, hey, kind of maybe move on here. You got to have, you know, Trump sucks, can't be your platform. You know, you got to do something else. What do you think we're going to see in the next year or so?
Yeah, so they thought that worked in California with Newsom recall. It obviously fell absolutely flat on Tuesday. From what I'm seeing, they're doubling down. From what I'm seeing, they're doubling down on that. They're calling Youngkin now, you know, Trump and pleads. And, you know, this was whenever we're talking about CRT and education, that's just a dog whistle for white racism. White suburban women who were the biggest champions on the planet literally 12 months ago this week for getting rid of that evil orange man are now the most, you know, the biggest proponents for white patriarchy on the planet. They're doubling down. We'll see what happens over the course of the next 12 months. But right now, all indications show that Joe Manchin wing of the party is very, very small. It's become radicalized. They're angry. And they're going to do everything they can to try to win through vilification rather through inspiration or, as opposed to inspiration. And that creates that's going to force them to go further left. That creates the vacuum in the center. And the right's going to come in just like they did last Tuesday. Bring them in, turn into a parents' party. And we may see a bloodbath we haven't seen in years.
And, Steve, one final thing I do want to mention. You alluded to it before. You know, along with Glenn Youngkin winning, Virginia now has an Hispanic attorney general. And the lieutenant governor of the state is a woman named Winsome Sears. She's
amazing.
She's a black Jamaican woman, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who makes no bones about her Second Amendment rights, but yet, boy, Steve, over the past couple of days, according to the left, she's not the right kind of black woman. Yeah,
exactly.
She may be black. And I'm sitting here going, what are you kidding? You're going to insult a Marine veteran like this who loves the country. Steve, it's mind-boggling.
It is. And then remember, Youngkin won the Hispanic vote by 9 points. Latinos are coming to the Republican Party. They're coming to the parent party, quite literally. And there was also a district in San Antonio that had voted for Biden by 14 points just 12 months ago. They switched at 73% Latino. They switched over at a 15-point shift and put in a staunch conservative Republican over the major issue, border security. We're seeing a massive paradigm shift. It's fascinating.
Right. Steve, thank you. Steve Turley, Dr. Steve Turley, TurleyTalks.com. Steve, come back to your native Connecticut. There's a traffic jam waiting for you on I-95. So come back for the holidays.
Amen, Paul. I can't wait to be back.
All right,
thanks,
Steve,
Beth.
Good to talk to you. We'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Excellent.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, Steve Turley, native of Orange. There you go.